Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hi, listeners. I'd like to invite you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, download our ebook on organic gardening basics, and get started on building your very own organic oasis today. Welcome to the show today. I'm very excited. We're going to do something a little bit different. I brought back a guest that I had on earlier, and we're going to talk about the fair and entering a fair. So Ron Hansen was on my show back last spring, last summer. Do you remember? I guess I should have looked that up.
Yeah.
And today I asked him if he would come back and talk to us about, he was the fair judge at our Lincoln County Fair this year. So welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you.
And do you just want to give listeners like a, just like a little brief introduction about who you are, and in case they haven't listened to that old episode?
Well, I've lived in Eureka most of my life. I've gardened almost all my life, and gardening is a trial and error thing. You learn from your mistakes, and I've learned an awful lot over the last 65 years. So I've worked for the Forest Service and raised garden every year since I was 12 years old, no matter where I was at in the summertime. So then I started the greenhouse about 35 years ago and sold my extra plants, and it developed into a full-time business called Hansen's Hot House that I kind of did on the side while I was working Forest Service, and then expanded it for about 5 or 6 years after I retired. And I finally shut that down last year and retired from that so I could garden, because it was keeping me from getting to my garden and doing the things I enjoy doing in my garden. So that's my story.
Okay. And so I looked, so if listeners want to hear Ron's original episode where we talk about his hot house and the different things, it's episode 25. So, and it was back in March 23rd, it looks like. So today we're going to talk about the fair and different things, like, because a lot of people, I think that when you enter the fair, it's only if you have like this gigantic pumpkin or if you have like a super big zucchini. But really, there's a lot of different categories and there's a lot of things you look at as a judge, right? So do you want to tell it, like, where should we start?
Well, the growing the big stuff is, you know, that's just judged on weight. I don't have much to do with the judging on that. Just put it on a scale. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, largest vegetables and largest egg and stuff like that. But the rest of the stuff.
And the smallest egg, too, right? Like, we had these tiny little eggs, and I don't know how we didn't bring them, because we had, like, some that were, like, the size of your pinky, right? So it's tallest, biggest egg, and smallest egg, right? Okay, so I was saying there's a smallest egg besides the biggest egg. We were talking about the eggs at the fair that you judge the biggest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have a prize for the smallest egg, too, I guess.
Yeah, we were going to bring our smallest egg in. And then when I got home, I was like, oh, look, the smallest eggs are still here, because we had these itty-bitty tiny ones that were like the size of my pinky. Okay, so the biggest vegetable you just weigh. So then what other categories are there that you people bring in?
Well, there's the herbs and the grains and the...
Okay. So what do you look for? Well, let's just start with the vegetables first off. So what kind of categories do people enter vegetables in that you look for?
Well, we pretty much have a category for almost every vegetable. And the thing is, if you're going to enter anything in the fair, it's best to read what they say it'll be judged on. And that's, you know, it's in every fair back book, and it's only a paragraph or less. And it tells you exactly what to look for, you know, what the judges are looking for in your vegetables, in your entries. So, and basically what they're looking for is for vegetables is medium size, uniform in color, uniform in quality, and uniform in form. And, you know, free of any disease and pests and bruises and breaks. And that's about it. Root crops have to be cropped, you know, trimmed. The top's trimmed about an inch long, and the cabbage, you remove the loose leaves, and cauliflower, you remove the outer leaves. And the one thing is sweet corn, you don't husk.
Okay. And
the thing about sweet corn, you've got to be growing it and know that it's ripe, because you can't husk it until till the time of judging. So you've got to eat some ears and make sure that what you pick is ripe and not overripe. When I judged the corn this year, there was four entries that were just very good entries. They were all vying for first place, they were uniform. They were everything. They met all of the other qualifications. It was really hard to choose the first place. So what I had to do after I shucked them and tested them with my thumbnail for ripeness, they were all ripe. So I had to go to a taste test.
Oh.
And I taste a lot of raw corn. I love to eat it raw. And I tasted them, and the one that looked the best was overripe and tasted bitter.
Well,
so that one did not get hurt. So I was able to give the first place ribbon based on taste when everything else was the same with the competitors. So
that's interesting. So, like, so you don't taste the other food, or you only taste it if it's like a tight competition, if everything's super quality, huh?
Yeah, it was the same with the eggplants. There were three entries that were just, they weren't the best. You know, they had, each of them had some bad sides, but they were all really, really good. And when I put all the good sides, turned them all so the good sides were showing up, there were two large eggplants in each entry. And I displayed them that way, and that made it even harder. They all looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
They had some scratches on the backside, and that's when the superintendent says, well, if they all look really good that way, why don't you judge them based on how, on the blemishes? So I turned them around, and sure enough, I could easily pick out which one was best then by looking at the bad side.
All right. That's a good tip. So if you're wondering, flip it over and make sure it's good all the way around.
Yeah. Where people go wrong with entering their vegetables is, it calls for, say, five tomatoes. They'll put five tomatoes out there, and they're supposed to be uniform in size and color, and they're not uniform. One will be large, and one will be medium, and, they don't. They just grab five tomatoes and put them on there, and the color and the uniformity in the color and size and quality are very important. That's basically what we judge on. So
now Mike was saying something about he learned a tip down in Kalispell about they like them if they're actually still attached to the vine too. If all five of them, if you can show that you're growing that consistency all on the same vine, is that something you look for too?
Well, they don't call for that here.
Okay.
But there are certain vine ripened ones that are cluster tomatoes.
What's that mean?
Would present purple on the vine, but some other tomatoes wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to keep them on the vine.
Oh.
They look a lot. What we in this fair we judge for commercial and table quality. So you wouldn't want the vine attached to you. You'd want it the way it looks in the grocery store when you buy it.
Oh, okay.
Or the way you like it on your table. So that's another thing that it says. They'll be judged on commercial quality and table quality. So.
Yeah. I just said, what other things do you... Let me go... I'm going to grab my fair book really quick.
There's displays of greens and herbs and stuff like that. With greens and herbs, you want to pick those type of things. Lettuce, you want to pick those type of things the night before and either put them in, like the greens where you cut them, or the herbs where you cut them, you can stick those in a glass of water or something. Put them in the refrigerator. Otherwise, they'll experience field wilt. If you pick them the day of and put them in some water, they'll just all droop down and look really bad. And hopefully, they'll have snapped out of it by the time the judge comes along, the judge in the morning, the next day. But some of them weren't. So it's best if you can get rid of the field wilt by putting in those type of things in the refrigerator the night before.
Okay, cool. That's a good tip. What about
and
do you...
cleaning things.
Oh, okay, cool.
For cleaning things, you know, you want to make sure they're cleaned properly. Somebody had cleaned, I think it was golden beet, or they had just rubbed it down to where it was, blue potatoes. They had scrubbed them into where they had almost taken the skins off of them. And, you know, that was just a little bit excessive cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But I was entered some peppers in the fair when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, I'll just put some olive oil on them and shine them up. And I did that, and I took first place.
Really?
With my peppers.
I never heard of that idea. Put some olive oil on them to shine them up. And that's not considered, like, cheating or something? That's just...
Well, I didn't think it was at the time. And then I tried that about 10 years ago. I had some really nice peppers, and I thought I'd just shine them up. So I sprayed a little Pam on them and wiped them down and made them, you know, they would have still looked shiny if I hadn't have done that, but it shined them up a little bit. And they would have taken first place, and they actually were so nice, they probably would have taken, the judge had said that he might have given that the best vegetable overall. But then he tasted it, and it tasted terrible because it had that oil on. So I wouldn't recommend trying to shine anything up with anything but water when you clean them.
Okay, that's a good tip. I would never have thought of doing that, but that's interesting. Okay, what about... Okay, so we talked about potatoes. How about some beans, like green beans? Got any tips for green beans? Or snap beans or wax beans or any kind of beans?
Yeah, the snap beans, green beans, wax beans. There's it takes 1 quart. You have to enter 1 quart in a box on a paper plate. And what you look for in the beans, again, is uniformity. You want your beans to all be the same length, to all be straight. And, you know, when you have a bunch that vary away from that, then it cuts down on the quality and might not get first place if there are others that are all straight. So.
Okay.
And spice. Want one big fat one and one little skinny one, you know, immature one. You want them all to be the same size.
I didn't know they had to be straight. That's interesting, because lots of times green beans aren't straight. They're kind of, you know, bent in like a C shape or like a crescent moon or something.
So they're all, there's a little curve in all of them. You know, that's great. Then they're all the same.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. How about beets? Any special secrets to beets?
Well, again, the roots have to be cut just 1 inch above the vegetable. And there again, you want to wash them and clean them. You want to leave the roots on there. You don't want to cut the roots at all. You know, the tap root. It's best to leave that on.
Oh, the root on the bottom of it, too. Okay.
Yeah. And you can scrub them a little bit, but don't over-scrub them. Make sure they're clean and free of any disease. So, and again, same thing. You want to pick enough beets out of your garden so you can sort through and pick. There's five in an entry. You want to pick five that are all, as much of the same size and color and quality as possible.
Okay. How about like brassicas, like cabbage or broccoli or any of those kind of vegetables?
Well, same thing, uniformity. You could have two cabbages that, if one's bigger than the other one, that cuts down on the way it's judged. So, and cabbage, you can clean back the loose leaves until it's a nice tight head and they're the same size and clean, where you cut it off, make sure that's cut clean. Carrots, again, the same as about 1 inch on the root stem. Leave 1 inch of stem on the carrots and scrub them so they look nice. But not overdoing it.
Okay. How about, got any tips for growing since you're you've been growing vegetables and things for so long? Got any tips for what would be help people be successful in any of these categories, like if they're growing things that makes them, like how to make your vegetables grow uniformly? Well,
soil is the main ingredient, and that's what you can build your soil up. A lot of people start to build their soil up and they read some book that was written back in New England, and they recommend adding lime to the soil. We don't want to do that here because our soil is already alkaline.
Oh, good.
But best to do is to, these books tell you all this stuff you need to dump in your garden, and you don't need to do that. You just add as much organic material as you can and keep working it into the soil. And over a period of 2 or 3 years, you'll have a real nice soil that can grow really nice vegetables. The worst thing you can do is just till up some ground, and the first year you till it up, you probably have a lot of success even without adding manure or organic material. But then the worst thing you can do is just to keep planting in that soil without adding organic material or manure to it, because it'll deplete the soil, and you won't be growing big, juicy vegetables.
Cool. Actually, the girl whose episode posted today is, her name's Sarah Harding, and she has a business selling microgreens down in Whitefish. And she recommended a really cool book. Now, of course, am I going to remember the name of it? On your soil, that she said on... it's a really old book, actually, from the 70s. But she really talked about focusing on soil. It was called The Gardener's Guide to Better Soil by Jean Logson. And I think it's got to be from, back in the 70s. But she said that was really good. And a lot of my guests have certainly, that's a big part of our show, is talking about building the soil up. Kavita Bay, who I went to college with at U of M, who's down in Alberton and has an apiary down there. They have 120 beehives, her and her husband, and just a huge garden. And she talked a lot about, that's how she fell in love with gardening, was she was just passionate about the soil. So certainly, that's, I think, the biggest thing all of us learn in the beginning is that it's, you've got to have healthy soil. And I think that's a big part of why organic gardening works, because people think about the soil and building it up as compared to just putting chemical fertilizers on there that are more towards the plant and just feeding the plant instead of like improving your soil and feeding the soil that's going to grow the plant. So.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
As far as growing things to enter in the fair, it's just instead of having one tomato plant and trying to pick the best tomatoes off of it, you might want to have four or five tomato plants and pick your five tomatoes off of that. The more you grow, the more you can choose from to enter in the fair, and the more you can get that uniformity. So that's my suggestion.
That's a good one. And what about, like, varieties? Do you think that matters? That was, like, kind of a big lesson I learned this summer, is that variety really matters, whereas I hadn't really ever paid attention to that or cared about it as much.
Yeah, I'm one that loves all kinds of new and different varieties. I've one time raised as many as like 40 different varieties, types of peppers.
Wow. So,
you know, and they only have like four categories in the fair for peppers. So, you know, you grow what you're interested in growing and then enter your best in the fair. And of course, read what it says before you enter.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the herb, we've had a little problem with the herbs because it calls for one bunch. And the rules only say that sheaves of grain should be 1.5 inches in diameter. And grasses are bundled in 3 inches, but it doesn't define what a bunch of herbs are. So hopefully the fair board will get that, get something in there that'll give us an idea of, you know, if a bunch is a half inch of stems or, you know, or 10, you know, they've got to come up with some kind of a
standard.
You know, we had, herbs that had 4 or 5 stems in the water, and some just only had one in the water.
Oh.
You know, and we didn't have a definition of bunch. I guess it was all considered bunch.
Okay.
But I hope it worked out. But I would suggest, and you know, you have more than just one.
So now what do you judge herbs on? Do you taste them? Is it the look? Is it the smell? What makes an herb, like how does an herb win?
Well, again, it's on table quality and commercial quality. Basically, 50% is on quality, 30% on variety, and 20% are on arrangements. So, you know, the quality is a really big thing because, like I said, if you pick them the night before and just before you come in to enter them in the fair, they're going to be probably still all drooped over in the morning unless you pick them the night before you bring them to the fair.
Okay, because we bring ours to the fair on Thursday night, right? And then you did the judging Friday morning?
Yeah. Okay. Bring them on Thursday night, pick them Wednesday evening, and stick them in some water and put them in the refrigerator, and then bring them to the fair Thursday afternoon, Thursday night. And they, once they've gotten through the field wilt and they're set, then they'll last really well in that water for several days. So,
okay, all right. What about, so now? Does this say fruit, honey, and poultry? Did you say you did that too? You said honey, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
poultry is the eggs, I guess, is the deal.
There wasn't any honey entered this year. There's only like one dozen eggs, so there was no contest there. But there's a lot of fruit, and there were some entries, but you know, there's a chance there for people that are growing fruit to get some blue ribbons if they'd bring them in. And, of course, they have to be grown by the exhibitor, and it's basically, again, on quality, variety, and arrangement. So.
Okay. Do you have any tips? Do you grow fruit? Have you grown fruit? Got any tips for, like, growing fruit or anything?
Well, most people have a few apple trees in the back of their, you know, in their yard. Apples or pears or plums. And, you know, again, pick a bunch and, you know, pick out the ones that are unblemished and the ones that are all the same size and good quality, and you should have a good chance of getting a full, blue ribbon. Now, the berries and stuff, yeah, I grow lots of those, so that's, again, you've got to pick a bunch of them and then pick out the ones that look the best and put them in your pint box for the berries.
Do you get raspberries when the fair is going in the fall? It seems like our raspberries are usually gone by then. We didn't get any raspberries this year. I don't know what happened. But,
I'm still out right now and pick a few raspberries. I have some fall variety ones that, this started about fair time this year, but no, they didn't. My summer ones were still producing at fair time.
Okay.
My fall started producing about the middle of September, and I'm still with the last couple of frosts. They're pretty much done now, but I've had lots of raspberries this fall.
Wow! So, how about like some success tips on how to grow good raspberries? Got anything special you do to your raspberries?
Lots of water.
Lots of water.
Yeah. Lots and lots of water.
I wonder if that's what happened, because last year we didn't water the raspberries and they kind of faded.
That happened to me. I was so busy with my business, my hothouse business, that I forgot to water the raspberries. I just figured they were getting enough water in the spring, which we had a very dry spring, and I pretty much lost my raspberries about 3 years ago because they just didn't get enough water in the spring.
Yeah, because they usually do pretty good on their own. I bet that's what happened to us. Last year, Mike planted, we like put in this little mini farm, and last year was his first year. This year, he really expanded it, but I wonder if he spent so much time on that mini farm last year that he didn't water the raspberries, and that's why we didn't get any back this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. How about corn? You got any tips for corn? You always grow good corn, right?
Well, you know, that's where, if you don't put manure anywhere else in your garden, put it where the corn is, because they're real heavy feeders.
Okay.
But I do tip that I learned this year. I have very sandy soil, so my corn, I would water for 12 hours. And set the sprinkler and water it for 12 hours at one time. And then every 3 or 4 days, I'd water it again for 12 hours. And I've done that for years. Seemed to be getting enough water for the corn. My corn, the same variety I've raised for the last 10 years, was 5 to 6 feet tall. This year, I put an automatic sprinkler in on my corn.
Mm-hmm.
And had it come on for a couple hours in the evening and a couple hours in the morning. And my corn shot up. I mean, I did nothing else different. My corn shot up to about 9 feet tall.
Oh.
So that water every day just really made the difference.
Okay. That's excellent to know.
The nice thing was it wasn't as much water.
Excellent.
But it kept the ground moist,
mm-hmm.
which really helped with the corn, so. Especially on the warm, hot summer we had.
I was just going to say that, like, if we could do that this year of all years when it just seemed like everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even with our new well, we were running out of water on one well or the other all summer long this year. Now, I don't know if we had some kind of a leak. a couple of weeks ago, Mike had the well guy come and fix something because it just seemed, but yeah, we just, this summer was so dry, and just with the watering and with the big new space, I mean, I thought, how are we ever going to expand this if we can't even water? I mean, he did, you know, but, you know, we put that big well in thinking we're going to really be able to water like four of the, you know, he planted like a quarter of an acre or a third of an acre, and, you know, we're thinking he's going to do four of those sections at least down the line. And I was surprised at how much water we went through this year, but it was a dry summer.
One thing about the, what made me realize it was the, that type of watering was that my sprinkler didn't quite hit. When corn got up so high, it couldn't hit the backside of the corn. So some of the, a couple of the rows only got to about 6 feet, like they always had. So the water got, it wasn't just the hot summer that made it go 9 feet. It was the water.
Yeah, that's a great way to experiment. That's a, I bet that's making people think about a lot of different things that way.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, anything else you want to share with us? I mean, you've shared a lot today. I think people who have, like, because I've had a lot of guests on who have not, like, been interested in the fair, and a few people say, well, I don't do the fair because it's only the biggest, you know, it's only, I never grew a big vegetable like that, and so I thought it was good to have you come on and talk about the different things. Because I always thought that till Mike started entering, and he won a few you know, awards for, he won most of his awards. I mean, almost, we rarely ever enter the biggest thing. Now, this year, I entered my tallest sunflower, even though there were only two of them, but usually we, he wins for the uniformity thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, there were tomatoes. There were some nice big tomatoes, five on a plate, really nice, but there were, but because they were a little bit too big, the first place went to more of a medium-sized, because that's what the fair book says we're looking for, is a medium-sized uniformity.
Okay. Good to know.
So what I say is just read, make sure you read the fair book and grow plenty, that so you can, you have more than, you, you know, you have more to choose from when you're picking your vegetables, so that you can, you know, choose and pick the ones that are the uniformity. So that'll get you the blue ribbon.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Ron, for coming back and sharing with us again today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website, organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com, and you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow